we invite you to tune in to our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.
Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled You Shall Not Be Afraid, Part 2. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Demolola Arigi. We shall be taking our Bible reading from Proverbs 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, 1 reads, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." I have just read from the King James Version. Eliojo entered her office and thanked the Lord for a brand new day. She wanted to sit down on her chair when she saw the charm and dead tortoise on it. She was so shocked that she screamed Jesus at the top of her voice. Minutes later, the man who placed the charm came to her office. His name was Sani. Sani said, "Good morning, madam. I just heard you scream. Hope all is well." Eliojo was already comfortably seated on that same office chair. "Good morning, sir. I'm fine. How is your wife?" she responded. Sani was perplexed to see her seated on the chair and looking so relaxed. "I heard you shouting. I." Eliojo cuts in. "I saw these charms in my office," pointing to the dustbin. "The initial shock made me scream so loud. I'm sorry for alarming everyone." Sani, "But why are you sitting in the same chair you saw the charm? Shouldn't you avoid it?" Eliojo answered, "God that is in me is far greater than the spirits that follow charms. Wait, how did you know it was on my chair?" I just guessed. "The person who put it on my chair did so to hinder me from my seat in this office. I will not cooperate with that person." Eliojo got the promotion the following week. Eliojo was bold because she was filled with the Spirit and conscious of her righteousness in Christ. Many Christians are not bold because their consciences are defiled with guilt. You need a clear conscience to be bold like a lion. Go into today remembering that all power in heaven and on earth now belongs to Christ. Matthew 28, verse 18. His people live by this truth and do not fear the power of the enemy. Prayer. Lord, help me overcome all fear. Amen. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from 2 Samuel chapter 5 to chapter 9. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If, for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, 2 Samuel chapter 5 to chapter 9.
After the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why to this day neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. The Lord's hand was heavy on the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation on them and afflicted them with tumors. When the people of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said,
The ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us, because his hand is heavy on us and on Dagon, our God.
So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and asked them,
What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?
They answered,
Have the ark of the God of Israel moved to Gath.
So they moved the ark of the God of Israel. But after they had moved it, the Lord's hand was against that city, throwing it into a great panic. He afflicted the people of the city, both young and old, with an outbreak of tumors. So they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. As the Ark of God was entering Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out,
They have brought the Ark of the God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people.
So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and said,
Send the Ark of the God of Israel away! Let it go back to its own place, or it will kill us and our people.
For death had filled the city with panic. God's hand was very heavy on it. Those who did not die were afflicted with tumors, and the outcry of the city went up to heaven. When the Ark of the Lord had been in Philistine territory 7 months, The Philistines called for the priests and the diviners and said,
"What shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it back to its place."
They answered,
"If you return the Ark of the God of Israel, do not send it back to him without a gift. By all means, send a guilt offering to him. Then you will be healed, and you will know why his hand has not been lifted from you."
The Philistines asked,
"What guilt offering should we send to him?"
They replied,
5 gold tumors and 5 gold rats, according to the number of the Philistine rulers, because the same plague has struck both you and your rulers. Make models of the tumors and of the rats that are destroying the country, and give glory to Israel's God. Perhaps he will lift his hand from you and your gods and your land. Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh did? When Israel's God dealt harshly with them, did they not send the Israelites out so they could go on their way? Now then, get a new cart ready, with 2 cows that have calved that have never been yoked. Hitch the cows to the cart, but take their calves away and pin them up. Take the Ark of the Lord and put it on the cart, and in a chest beside it put the gold objects you are sending back to him as a guilt offering. Send it on its way, but keep watching it. If it goes up to its own territory, toward Beth Shemesh, then the Lord has brought this great disaster on us. But if it does not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us, but that it happened to us by chance.
So they did this. They took 2 such cows and hitched them to the cart and pinned up their calves. They placed the Ark of the Lord on the cart and along with it the chest containing the gold rats and the models of the tumors. Then the cows went straight up toward Beth Shemesh, keeping on the road and lowing all the way. They did not turn to the right or to the left. The rulers of the Philistines followed them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting their wheat in the valley, and when they looked up and saw the ark, they rejoiced at the sight. The cart came to the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh, and there it stopped beside a large rock. The people chopped up the wood of the cart and sacrificed the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the Ark of the Lord, together with the chest containing the gold objects, and placed them on the large rock. On that day, the people of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices to the Lord. The 5 rulers of the Philistines saw all this and then returned that same day to Ekron. These are the gold tumors the Philistines sent as a guilt offering to the Lord. 1 each for Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. And the number of the gold rats was according to the number of Philistine towns belonging to the 5 rulers, the fortified towns with their country villages. The large rock on which the Levites set the Ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. But God struck down some of the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 of them to death because they looked into the Ark of the Lord. The people mourned because of the heavy blow the Lord had dealt them, and the people of Beth Shemesh asked,
"Who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? To whom will the ark go up from here?"
Then they sent messengers to the people of Kiriath Jearim, saying,
"The Philistines have returned the Ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to your town."
So the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the Ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the Ark of the Lord. The Ark remained at Kiriath Jearim a long time, 20 years in all. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to the whole house of Israel,
"If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines."
So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths, and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said,
"Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you."
When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed,
"We have sinned against the Lord."
Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel,
"Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines."
Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying,
"Thus far the Lord has helped us."
So the Philistines were subdued, and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as Israel's leader all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was, and there he also held court for Israel, and he built an altar there to the Lord. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him,
"You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have."
But when they said,
"Give us a king to lead us,"
this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him,
"Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now, listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights."
Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said,
"This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. But the Lord will not answer you in that day.
But the people refused to listen to Samuel.
No,
they said,
we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles.
When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered,
listen to them and give them a king.
Then Samuel said to the Israelites,
everyone, go back to your own town.
There was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bicharath, the son of Aphiah of Benjamin. Kish had a son named Saul, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anyone else. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father Kish were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul,
take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys.
So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and through the area around Shalisha, but they did not find them. They went on into the district of Shalem, but the donkeys were not there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin, but they did not find them. When they reached the district of Zuph, Saul said to the servant who was with him,
come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us.
But the servant replied,
look, in this town there is a man of God. He is highly respected and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take.
Saul said to his servant,
if we go, what can we give the man? The food in our sacks is gone. We have no gift to take to the man of God. What do we have?
The servant answered him again.
Look,
he said,
I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God so that he will tell us what way to take.
Formerly in Israel, if people went to inquire of God, they would say, come, let us go to the seer, because the prophet of today used to be called a seer.
Good,
Saul said to his servant.
Come, let's go.
So they set out for the town where the man of God was. As they were going up the hill to the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water, and they asked them,
is the seer here?
He is,
they answered.
He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has just come to our town today, for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Go up now. You should find him about this time.
They went up to the town, and as they were entering it, there was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel.
About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him ruler over my people Israel. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me.
When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him,
this is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people.
Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked,
would you please tell me where the seer's house is?
I am the seer,
Samuel replied.
Go up ahead of me to the high place, for the day you are to eat with me. And in the morning, I will send you on your way and will tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkeys you lost 3 days ago, do not worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and your whole family line?
Saul answered,
but am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me?
Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook,
bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside.
So the cook took up the thigh with what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said,
here is what has been kept for you. Eat.
because it was set aside for you for this occasion. From the time I said, I have invited guests.
And Saul dined with Samuel that day. After they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel talked with Saul on the roof of his house. They rose about daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof.
Get ready, and I will send you on your way.
When Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside together. As they were going down to the edge of the town, Samuel said to Saul,
Tell the servant to go on ahead of us.
And the servant did so.
But you, stay here for a while, so that I may give you a message from God.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, visit our website at streamglobe.org.
We invite you to tune into our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.